Hello, everyone. Welcome to One More Prime, the Transformers Watch Along. I am Mike Schwartz, a man who wishes for more Transformer World War II flashbacks. They are always cool, including the scene from the last night. I think? Maybe not? I am joined by my kids, Emma and Elsa.
Hello.
Hi.
Who are waiting for any kind of Rise of the Beast update. No new toy reveals lately? No new trailer yet? Come on! It's only 50 days, 7 hours, 39 minutes, and 12 seconds away.
Chop chop.
We are watching Starscream's Brigade, episode 46 of season 2. So, I looked up the definition of brigade. Typically, a brigade consists of 3,000 to 5,000 troops. Human troops. Does the title of this episode mean that each member of the Combaticons equals that of 1,000 human soldiers? Or is it just a cool name? This made me go back to the land of foreign titles. Some kept Brigade, other countries went with Starscream's Mutiny, which I think is a better fit, right? Don't forget to send us an email at onemoreprimepod@gmail.com and tell us your favorite memory relating to Transformers the movie, and we'll read it on our upcoming movie episode. Written by Michael Charles Hill and airing on January 7th, 1986, this is Starscream's Brigade. All right, this episode begins in a flashback? It's a very sepia-toned flashback to the Battle of Guadalcanal, 1943, a very decisive naval battle during World War II. Where the U.S. troops firing pink lasers, even in the black and white flashback.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I think they were using G.I. Joe technology.
Oh, of course. You know, before the 80s.
Right. So this is kind of a cool way to start this episode. We see various vehicles get destroyed and shot down, wonderfully lined up to how we will see them later in the episode. And then we go to 1985. But then there's also a title card, Decepticon Headquarters, Present Time. So is this like a few weeks after the Guadalcanal 1985?
No, 2023.
Yeah.
Even that's going to be outdated.
Yeah, because it's present time. Come on.
Mm-hmm. So we're back in present day, and Starscream is fed up with Shockwave and Megatron. He's rambling, and Megatron just starts to walk out the door, and Starscream says, "Nobody turns his back on me." And with one shot, he thinks that he's killed Megatron.
And he shoots him with his back turned.
Yes.
How cowardly.
Oh, exactly. And he instantly declares himself the new leader.
He's like, "Bow to me, because I just killed him."
But as we know, and as Megatron tells him, you can't take me out with one shot.
But he can take out Starscream with a sweep to the leg.
He does. Megatron has had enough of Starscream. Starscream looks to the help for the other Decepticons, and they're not helping. They just kind of, they're looking quite sassy with their hands on their hips. They're like, "No." Soundwave has his arms crossed. Like, "We are not helping you."
I mean, it's Soundwave. Come on.
Megatron points his gun straight into the camera, and then Megatron shoots Starscream in the back. Kind of like knocks him out enough for Laserbeak to pick him up by his feet, and Laserbeak exiles Starscream to Guadalcanal, which I looked it up, and from the west coast of America to Guadalcanal, it's about a 16-hour flight. So
in present-day technology,
we don't know how fast Laserbeak can fly, but, you know, carrying him by Starscream's feet, just dangling upside down.
What kind of jet is Starscream?
He's an F-15.
Carrying an F-15 by the feet?
Yeah, if he transformed, he could have probably got there quicker.
Yeah. Oh, that's why they say, like, it's been a day later in the episode or something.
That could be, yeah. Once Starscream is on his exiled island, he immediately finds an airplane wing, and then he just starts
digging by hand. He's like, "Ooh, a plane."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he finds a plane and a jeep and then a tank. And before Megatron exiled Starscream, didn't he say something like, you know, "Oh, you and what army?"
I hate when they say that.
Yeah. Well, Starscream is quickly amassing his own army, or he has the idea to.
And flies another 16 hours to the space bridge.
Right, yeah, he comes back to the Decepticon space bridge, guarded by his buddies.
Also, does Starscream normally have blue, like bright blue eyes? I just noticed that he has
his eyes changed.
Really blue eyes when he came. Like, okay, I was like, wait a minute, you're not supposed to have blue eyes.
So he muscles his way through the space bridge, and he's on Cybertron. And he's going to go pick up something. He finds room 217. I don't know if this is a reference or not, but room 217 was the scary haunted room in the book version of The Shining. In the movie, it was 237. So I don't know if that was a little Easter egg. But it looks like a wall of P.O. boxes or something, but Starscream steals several tinier-looking Energon cubes, sort of. We find out what they are later, but they look like tiny Energon cubes.
And based on what we find out later, he just destroyed hundreds upon hundreds of Cybertronians.
That's something we'll get to later, yes. So now Starscream flies back to Guadalcanal, and he inserts these little cubes into these rusted up World War II vehicles. Painted with flare.
Yeah, they're so bright.
The Jeep is kind of a mustard yellow. There's a purple airplane. And after he puts the cubes in, miraculously, all of these vehicles, first they transform into more modern looking versions of themselves, including the airplane turning into a space shuttle.
And the airplane turning into a helicopter.
Yes. And then they turn into robots, and we have a new team. We have the Combaticons.
Care to tell what they were beforehand?
Yes. Well, first of all, I wish that they would have stayed World War II era vehicles. Wouldn't that have been a cool... Have they ever done like a third-party combiner of who they become later? But in World War II modes, you know that?
I don't believe so. I know there's like the Hearts of Steel, but that's like trains and stuff.
Oh, yeah, more like and steampunk.
And they weren't even there, so.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah, I wish they would have stayed World War II.
It would be scale accurate.
More so than this. So the lineup of these Combaticons, we have an M4 Sherman tank, which becomes Brawl. There's the yellow-purple Jeep, which becomes Swindle. Then the purple B-17 Flying Fortress.
He's in one of those.
Mm-hmm. That becomes Blastoff. That becomes a space shuttle. An F-4U Corsair single-engine fighter. That becomes Vortex, the helicopter. And then a half-track transport becomes Onslaught.
And, of course, Blastoff gets to have a romance with Cosmos later on, so.
Oh, right.
In like IDW.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Space Boys.
As Starscream is explaining to the Combaticons, he inserted these sort of personality cubes. He did not install them with energy absorbers. So without them, they can't refuel. And he says, no energy, no life.
Basically, you're going to die soon.
Yeah, so he kind of blackmails them into working for him, which is what Starscream would do.
Yeah.
And we move away from Guadalcanal back to kind of generic city square where there's a grand unveiling. A reporter's here interviewing Jazz and Cliffjumper.
You mean Cliffjump?
Yes. And they unveil they call it a memorial statue of Optimus Prime.
But he's not dead.
I know. Was this maybe a clue of things to come?
Oh, I just thought of that.
Probably not.
Ooh.
They were working on the movie. They had to have been working on the movie at this time. So I don't know.
Yikes.
But anyway, it's a big... More town squares should have statues of giant robots in memorial.
Japan.
Yeah. Well, Detroit has RoboCop.
But Japan has a Gundam.
Yeah,
all over the place.
Many Gundams. But who also shows up at the memorial ceremony? Then the Combaticons. And they use the Optimus statue as target practice.
where they describe their functions.
Yeah, this is a good way to have them explain their like little superpowers. And Vortex uses his, creating vortexes.
Ooh, vortices.
Vortices? Yeah. And Cliffjumper and Jazz get caught up in said vortex, and they get sucked up into Vortex. How many times can we say Vortex in this episode? And the Combaticons fly off with the captured Jazz and Cliffjumper, and we go into commercial one. Starscream and the Combaticons apparently fly back to Guadalcanal. Yeah, it looks like an island setting.
How many times have you flown to and from this island?
Starscream congratulates them on their victory over the statue and capturing two Autobots, but he tells them to save their contempt for Megatron. So he's clearly planning on using them to once again attempt to take over the Decepticon leadership. And isn't Starscream also telling them that he's going to use, he's going to take the energy things that they're missing from...
Energy absorbers?
Yeah. Shockwave is explaining to Megatron that someone broke in and stole the personality components of Renegade Decepticons. So these are the cubes that Starscream took. And this is kind of a wrinkle that Teletran 1 later describes that these are not quite sparks, but sort of Renegade Decepticons. And these are sort of like renegades deemed by Megatron, right? You know, they're sort of like political prisoners. So
do you mean like Autobots or extremists or...
Yeah, or maybe kind of like Rampage in Beast Wars, where it was like they're like too hard to control, so they just destroyed their body and just kept them in a cube and then put them in a...
Spoilers.
Like a Dewey Decimal System. That's kind of, you know, something that could be explored, I think. We go back to the arc, and Teletran 1 is kind of just saying what we said. And at first, Optimus is, he says, their domestic squabble is none of our concern. So he was ready to sit things out, but the arc with no security system, is fired upon by Megatron and the Decepticons.
I mean, by now, they will probably figure out that you would need a security system. How many times have you been attacked?
Oh, yeah. Just the last episode, I think. Oh, they just flew in. Yeah, they Thrust dropped off Kremzeek right in the doorway. Oh, well, in this scene, Megatron is asking Prime to give him back the personality components. And Optimus is like, what? Like, oh, I guess it wasn't you. It must be Starscream.
And then Optimus shoots Megatron.
Yep.
Knocks him back. He's like, oh, okay, goodbye.
Well, yeah, because once Megatron figures out that Optimus didn't steal it, then they're like, oh, retreat!
Never mind, we're sorry.
Yeah.
Make it look like they did it, not some mistake on our part. They don't look weak.
Mm-hmm. Then we go to a train station where Megatron and Starscream meet up, maybe to make like an agreement or something, but that quickly dissolves into... random gunfire. Swindle holds Megatron at gunpoint, and he says, bye-bye, Megatron. And then it fades out with Megatron going, no! And it's so weak, you can barely hear it because they fade out to commercial 2 already.
I heard it.
Yeah. It took me the second time to watch it where he's just like, no!
Also, can we just say that the design of Swindle, he's never lost his big, beautiful eyes.
That's true.
Never.
He looks like how I draw Transformers or yeah. Custom.
Mm-hmm.
Big eyes.
You know, big anime eyes.
Yeah, that is one thing that survives through all of the designs. But now we're back in the train station. And Swindle and Soundwave, they kind of shoot at each other. But it knocks out the power in the train station. And then it's just random gunfire. So many trains are destroyed.
No, the Railbots!
Yeah.
My favorite combiner team.
Megatron, for the second time this episode, retreats. Oh, there's a reflector. They show up. Flies right through the roof of the station. The Combaticons are getting angry at Starscream. They literally have him up against a wall. Why is there a brick wall in the middle of this station? It's a little too literal, guys.
Platform 9 3/4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They say that we need those energy absorbers, but you can't take it from me. I'm the only one who knows how to do it. Smart thinking. Because I thought they were just going to take it from him. Because, you know, they're cold-blooded. But
Revolution.
No, but instead, Starscream offers up two of the cone heads that are knocked out on the train. Optimus sends Power Glide off to sort of see what's going on. Megatron has had enough, and he's gathered as many Decepticons as he can.
Even Shockwave.
Yeah, Shockwave's there. The Constructicons. And even the Stunticons are being called in. And then we see a quick shot of what the Stunticons are doing. And they're just driving down the street, bashing into cars. Like, is that what they do every single day when they're not working for Megatron directly?
Woo, that's what you have, a road rage.
Yeah.
How do we describe this?
Well, Megatron and his side of Decepticons show up at the power plant that Starscream and the Combaticons are hanging out at. The Combaticons got a little bit of an energy boost.
From what?
Just power cables hooked up to their nipples.
It's Wreck-Gar.
I whispered, poor Wreck-Gar can't do it too well.
Power Glide observes the battle. Let's Optimus know. And then Optimus decides that we should probably break this up because things aren't going to go too well if this keeps going. And now we have the first of three combiners we'll see in this episode. We see good old Devastator show up, where he goes from eyes to a visor from one shot to another.
I like the visor Devastator better.
I do too.
It felt like seeing your friend that wears glasses without glasses.
Like, the little cartoon dots.
Yes.
My glasses.
Milhouse, yeah.
I swear when I saw my friend without glasses, I'm like, oh my gosh.
Now to confront Devastator, here's where we see the formation of Bruticus, who groans every single, every limb and goes,
Sounds like DK, Donkey Kong in Donkey Kong 64, makes any kind of movement, he just goes,
But regardless, what do we think of Bruticus? He's always been one of my favorite looking combiners. I love his head, and I like...
Yeah.
I was never a fan of Menasor, of how he looks combined. Just not, it wasn't.
At least the cartoon.
Never quite cohesive to me. I don't know. But Bruticus I liked because of, you know, he's got a lot of, he's built out of vehicles of war. So he's always got cannons hanging off and you can throw in some treads and propellers.
I like it.
Like he. And in his color scheme, it's more military. Except like the G2 version. He's got all neons and tiger stripes and stuff.
If I may.
Yeah.
Quick tangent. I think Bruticus is one of my favorite combiners just because, wow, a lot of potential. Look at this dude. The Warbitron thing is amazing. And I hope he's the next legacy combiner for like legacy uni or whatever it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I hope. We're going to get like a commander class Warbitron style where it's like the front of Onslaught turns into his robot mode. And then like the back is like the combiner stuff. Bruticus, really good.
Friend of the show, Mario Muscar, he owns the Warbitron Bruticus and it's pretty amazing. He texted that to me to rub it in my face. Megatron gets pretty freaked out by Bruticus. And he starts to retreat for the third time this episode, but he's not able to because Bruticus grabs him and starts to squeeze him. And this looks like the return of Starscream to the leadership position. But who shows up on top of the cliff? The Stunticons. So now they combine. Now we have three combiners this episode. Yeah, they drive off a cliff and turn into Menasor. That's pretty cool.
I think we've had this animation sequence before.
Oh, maybe.
That's why it's one of the better looking ones.
Yeah. But then Menasor, in midair, he does a flying punch right in Starscream's face, which creates this gigantic crater.
It's huge!
And it's funny the way it's edited and animated. You don't really see it. You just sort of see Starscream's face and then a fist, and then it's a quick cut to this huge crater, which Starscream's on top of, but then Megatron grabs him by the throat and he crawls out of the pit. So I'm guessing the Combaticons are laying at the bottom, maybe?
Probably uncombined, like Power Rangers.
Yeah. So with his hand around Starscream's throat, Megatron once again takes control of the Decepticons, and then he orders Astrotrain to banish Starscream and the Combaticons. And he leaves them floating on a green, mossy asteroid.
It looks like a tardigrade.
It does.
It's just a little floating flat
it's
rock.
It's like a floating island from Avatar or something.
Yeah.
But it's just in the middle of outer space. We don't know how far. Farther than Guadalcanal, maybe.
Most definitely.
And that's how it ends, where Starscream is screaming that he'll have his revenge. So that's the end of Starscream's Brigade, but I think this is almost like a two-parter, because the next episode is The Revenge of Bruticus. So, yeah, that's the end of Starscream's Brigade. What do we think? Who wants to go first?
Me.
Sure.
I'll give it a 6 out of 10. It was pretty good. Kind of short, but pretty good.
Okay. Elsa?
It introduced my favorite combiners, so that's a plus.
Right.
Yeah, 6. Same reasons I liked it. I don't really know much about combiners. Yeah, it was a decent episode.
I'll go 6.5 on this. It did feel shorter in a way. I think just the way the commercials were spaced out, it was really weird. When I was watching it, like, oh, wow, we're already in commercial 2. It's same length as all the other episodes, but... Yeah, I liked it because it was different. There's no energy weapon of the week. It's more focused. It's more of a character piece. It's more Starscream. He's kind of by himself for a while. And the exile thing is kind of... So that was kind of a cool angle. And I like the Combaticons. I like how they're mostly working for Starscream. So you have these rivalries set up within the Decepticons to the point where... Sort of how the Decepticons sat out Kremzeek nearly the entire episode. The Autobots really don't do much, but that's okay because
that's really fun, actually.
Yeah, you can do a lot with Starscream and Megatron butting heads, and I think this was pretty cool. And a lot happened. There's a lot of scene jumping, and we sort of had some bummers the past few weeks, and I think this one was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It makes me want to see what happens, and we hope that you will come back and listen to the completion of the Bruticus two-parter. We hope you'll join us next week on an all-new One More Prime. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.